Hello, and welcome to UDL in 15 Minutes, where educators discuss their experiences with UDL. I'm Louie Lord-Nelson, UDL author and leader. Today, I'm talking with Tracy Dabbs, the Coordinator of Technology and Innovation and UDL Lead for ESD 189 and her district of Burlington Edison School District. Tracy is going to talk about how UDL transformed her professional learning design. Welcome, Tracy.
Hello, Louie. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share my story with you and your audience. This is amazing. I have listened to you so much, and this has been on my bucket list. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, so let's get started with your role and how you came to know UDL.
Perfect. So Burlington Edison, we have an enrollment about 3,300 students. About 50% are language learners and 70% are low income. So that's my district. I started 8 years in an elementary school classroom and then was given a chance to get to coach and coordinate technology. And I'm 20 years in that now. I can't believe it. And I found UDL about 6 years ago during a search for a common instructional framework, right? We had like five different frameworks and it was just insane. So we're trying to look for something that would encompass everything and consider all of our needs. And now I get to be the UDL lead for my district, and I still get to be the coordinator of tech. So I think it's a really wonderful blend.
That's awesome. So then when you were in the classroom, those 8 years, what was your role there?
So I taught first and second grade. I also have a SPED degree. So I, of course, was loaded with a lot of SPED students and a lot of language learners. And I didn't have UDL at the time. So I love reflecting back on my classroom experience, on the things that I did try. And so now in my new role where I get to help other people in their classrooms, I almost wish, gosh, I wish I would have known that back when I was in the classroom. But that was my classroom experience.
Yeah, I know I've said it on here before, and I say it in practically every professional development. I think I want to go back and apologize to my students that I had my first year of teaching.
I actually have a student that is now a teacher in our district, and we'll actually talk about that. It's really funny. It's really funny. She's lovely.
Yeah, luckily, I don't think any of us really do huge amounts of harm, but oh, it's hard.
I hope not. Exactly.
All right. So you have been working through a process, and that kind of the process that you've experienced of learning about Universal Design for Learning. So tell us about that.
So of course, you know, I was quite a few years in giving professional learning to teachers and thought, I've got it all down. I can't learn anything new, right? And then after I stumbled across UDL, it really kind of shook me, right? I didn't realize how controlling I was of my learning experiences I was providing. So I kept reading the books, a few of them a few times, especially your Design and Deliver. Oh my gosh, I'm on my fourth time through that book. But learning something new every time. Read all the articles, I watched the videos, but I was still stuck in that, show me the checklist. Show me what this looks like. I kept cycling that through of, if you just show me the three things I need to do, I know I can do it. And then I just started designing things, right? I thought, I'm just going to try. So I started designing some PD and trying it out. And that's when the shift happened for me. It's like I started to see what it meant. And it really became, it's not a checklist. It's really funny. I remember talking to you about this earlier, that I couldn't really put my finger on what it was that happened. But now as I really think about it, it was actually experiencing trying the design, right? And it really became, gosh, it really is a mind shift. It's this way of designing where I consider barriers and reflect upon what those barriers, how they impact, and what can I proactively do? Right? And how can I really turn that learning and those choices over to students? And I had to experience it a few times to then see it and realize what was happening. And the thing that was so amazing to me is as soon as I got to that shift part, I couldn't unsee it. Right? And so then I just started seeing it in all these places. And then like with my leadership team that I work with at the high school, a lot of people and I support a high school staff, we still get a lot of people that just say, show me the checklist. If you can just give me, I'm like, no, it's not that. Stick with us a little bit longer and you'll see it as well, right? We have to get past that. Just show me what it looks like.
Yeah.
Right. It was just a really interesting shift for me, but it did. It took a lot of books. It took a lot of articles and rereading. But like I said, as soon as I really started myself trying it out a little bit and experiencing that, everything kind of just came together. There was this coalesce moment, right, where it was just really interesting.
Yeah. Somebody like you did, experiences where they've been digging into it, but still wanting that checklist. And then, but that flip moment, then like you said, it is like the top of the funnel opens up and everything just comes rushing in. And it just seems to fit exactly. into our brain and go, okay. Yeah. And so you and I and so many people in our position, we love to see that. And then it's so exciting when somebody experiences it. And exactly. B, it is our constant push to try to find our way to help others experience that.
Right. And you can't do it for them. Mm-mm. And no. It's almost like you just got to trust. And I just kept saying that to our high school staff. Just trust me for a bit longer. Mm-hmm. And then it was interesting to me how we kept kind of going back to those foundational pieces behind UDL that you speak to in your books where, okay, do we still agree that learner variability is a thing? Okay, yes. So that gives us this ammunition to keep trying. And okay, oh my goodness, do we still believe that expert learning has to be the goal? That it's not just our content, it's this deeper layer beyond. Okay, we believe that. All right, that gives us a different way to look at what we're doing with students. And then that third one that always resonates with me is that you always must have a firm but flexible goal for any learning experience. And so that kind of having those three big grounding things gives us the energy and the purpose for why we then want to look at and reflect on the lessons we've always taught, right? Or think of a different way to design. So those foundational pieces have been just this really great grounding piece for me to share for myself and for our staff of just, let's go back to these big purpose points, right? Because if we believe those to be true and that we have to do something about those, then it gives us this reason to do what we consider at first really hard lift big work. And then we can see how that slowly over time, not too slowly, actually, it's amazing how quickly it doesn't seem like as much work when we build in, oh, there's a routine that I'm always going to do. Oh, now I have this framework of I'm not redesigning every lesson. I'm using this same thing in all my lessons. And that was kind of a nice deep breath for our leadership team. So that was just really powerful.
Yeah. And so when you're talking about the reflection, you know, our personal reflection, but then as you're helping other people reflect, and that makes me think about the feedback loops that you've talked about a lot and how powerful those have been. And so I really want you to talk about that.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So this was the biggest change that we've had. Biggest change. So in just starting with our high school, just to get them to even want to do anything, I asked them, well, how is instruction going? Right? And they're like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Fine is not great. And who is it fine for? And then there was just silence. Right? And it was, have we ever asked our students? And it started this wonderful journey on, oh my gosh, if we're not asking them on a regular basis, how is learning going for them? What do they need? We're completely missing out. And then what I love so much is that it so mirrors what we have to do in our professional learning. If we're not doing that for our teachers, if we're not asking them how this PD is resonating with them and working for them, we are so missing out. We are doing PD to them or for professional learning to them, not with and for them. So this has been the biggest shift for me. I actually got to write an article for Edutopia that they published on this. It was really exciting. But just asking them, are we meeting our goals in professional learning? We started with 30% of our high school teachers saying that we are meeting their needs for professional learning. Pretty typical. And I know high school can be ornery, but I love them. But after a few sessions of asking them, showing them how we were shifting the PD based on what they said, we're at 97 to 100% on all of our sessions now with them feeling listened to. We've completely shifted some of our PD from really large group to small groups that are all getting the same message, but in smaller sessions for them based on what they asked. And then in some cases, doing very, very open exploration on a topic, depending on where we are in the learning, to very structured, these are the two things I want you to get out of this. And here's how I'm going to support you to kind of explore what that is. And it's based solely on what they're telling us. And just the feedback from staff that they've never had PD like this before, this is unlike anything they've experienced, right? It's just amazing. And then shifting that to our high school team that's really trying this work, I had a math teacher. I don't feel comfortable asking my students for feedback. They're just going to blast me as a teacher. But then she's like, I'm going to give it a try. And she was blown away by what they shared with her, how they shared it impacted their learning. Now she's asking them all the time. And now it's the thing I love, whether it's professional learning or our classrooms, it's shifting away that the lesson design is mine and I've created it and I'm responsible, where I'm taking your feedback. I can only make this as great as you help me make it for all of us. And so now it's not as personal. I don't feel as attacked on a feedback survey because we're going to work on it together. And so just the shift and release of, I'm crafting this lesson with you helping me. It's been super powerful in our classrooms and our professional learning. It's amazing to me. And now I'm using like the framework for all of our professional learning. We use it exactly like we would do a lesson plan. And it's amazing how well a learner is a learner, right? It's amazing how well it's worked and how it's really bringing things up for us.
That's awesome. It's a huge benefit when I get to work with a group of several times, right? So sometimes I only get to go once because that's been the request. But when I have that opportunity to work with a group multiple times, what I found is with adults and in the PD setting, and of course, like you, I'm using the framework, obviously, to design the whole thing. But the first time that I ask for feedback, and of course, I give some kind of multiple choice or fill in the blank type things, but then I'll leave room for paragraphs. And there's just a little bit there. And then come back and say, here, this is what I heard. This is what I saw. Here are the responses. And then it opens up a little bit more. There's that trust relationship that we have to create with any learner. And so our adult learners need that trust relationship too, which you're speaking to so well. And then like your math teacher and other teachers have experienced, I need to trust my learners, but I need to give them the chance. And then once that is there, it opens up so much, so many doors. It's incredible.
It is. It's amazing. And it's just like any other skill. When our students first start giving us feedback, it's probably not going to be great, right? And then talking through what is great feedback. And then that just goes through so many different skills, right? How do we give great feedback to people? How can I take in that feedback? So that piece is so powerful. And I reflect on how we would give a lot of surveys in the past, but then we'd never come back to them. And that was that big missing piece, right? We never made it a loop. We just, we took your feedback and you had no idea how we used it, if we even looked at it. And so that powerful piece of closing that loop and just continuing it with, this is what you told me. This is what we're going to try now. And we're going to keep coming back. It's just making learning seem very much like a cycle and focusing on that process. So just so powerful.
Yeah. I know it's outside of a learning cycle, but like when you fill in the survey for the company and they're like, we want to hear your feedback, but then you hear nothing back. And it's like, okay, that was worthless. That is not worth my time because you didn't tell me anything. But we're not supposed to have favorites, but I will admit that I really do think my favorite checkpoint out of the entire set of guidelines is mastery-oriented feedback. Under sustaining effort and persistence. So increase mastery-oriented feedback. So, that's of course to us as the designers, but then also it's for our learners. So they learn how to give mastery-oriented feedback. We all benefit from mastery-oriented feedback.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, this has been such a great conversation. I really, really appreciate it, Tracy. I think people are going to have key takeaways about some steps they can take and the encouragement to keep going so that funnel will open up. And then also this concept of feedback loops and how valuable they are for any instructional designer and learner to have regardless of age. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Louie. This is just such a pleasure and honor to get to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So for those listening to this podcast, you can find supplemental materials like an image montage with closed captioning, that montage with audio descriptions, a transcript, and an associated blog at my website, which is theudlapproach.com/podcasts. And finally, if you have a story to share about UDL implementation for UDL in 15 minutes, you can contact me through theudlapproach.com. And thanks to everyone for your work in revolutionizing education through UDL and making it our goal to develop expert learners.